The Queer Heritage Initiative of New Brunswick, which collects archival material relating to 2S LGBTQIA plus life across the province, reaches its 10th anniversary this year. Organisation co-founder and research archivist Meredith J. Batt has looked into the history of queer life in St. John, as well as around the province and over the border in Maine. A recent article produced by Batt explores the homophobic murder of Charles O. Howard in Bangor, Maine in 1984, and a later homophobic attack experienced by Don Mills and Gary John in St. John. Batt spoke with Local 107.3 FM about the history of 2S LGBTQIA+ experiences in St. John. Batt also considered the connections between the communities on both sides of the border and how recent political changes in the United States are affecting the queer community in St. John as well as in Maine.
It's amazing to see the progress that we've made in 10 years. So we have some stuff on St. John queer history, we have stuff Fredericton, Moncton, but also more rural areas, and we always are hoping to grow our holdings. And they contain material that dates from the 1970s up until present day, basically. Fredericton's queer history comes up quite a lot. And I really feel that St. John is really overlooked in the queer history. It's very rich and yeah, has been kind of under-profiled and under-talked about when talking about queer history in Atlantic Canada. In a lot of the lesbian and gay organization letters that I'm reading right now from the 1980s, they refer to it as being a conservative city. People's perceptions were very discriminatory towards queer people. Here in New Brunswick, I mean, our cities are pretty small, and that was definitely the case in the 1970s and 80s. And back then, of course, it was very difficult because you could be fired or lose your housing if it was found to be gay. And it might not be an outright firing because you were gay, but some excuse would come up. There was a lot of fear. That was the climate of the 1980s. So previous to that, of course, that like the earliest case that we have for any kind of same-sex experience or relationship actually dates back to 1805, 1806. There was a case of John Middleton Smith, who was convicted of two counts of attempted sodomy. So they couldn't fully prove that a sexual act had taken place. As we carry on throughout the 1900s into the 1960s, where we actually have evidence that there were drag shows going on at the Royal Tavern on Germain Street, which would have been across from the City Market, and the Admiral Beatty Hotel. There was definitely a group of men who were hanging out at the Admiral Beatty Hotel and able to form some semblance of community. Now, one thing that I found out was that when the Delta Hotel opened in 1983, there was a bit of an issue with dress code and with gay people meeting there, and so that was the excuse that was used by the management, that, you know, they wanted to attract a certain type of clientele. They didn't want gay people meeting there, and so they started to enforce a dress code in the new Delta Hotel. But there was also household dances that were held by two lesbian women named Carol and Stella. And before JJ's opened in 1985, which is considered to be the first gay bar actually in New Brunswick. Now, JJ's wasn't exactly only going to be for gay clientele, but it was kind of expected to be a safe space for them. So that's why I refer to it the first gay bar. But before that, the dances that Carol and Stella did at their home were so incredibly important because it offered people a space to meet.
So I did want to kind of refer slightly to your recent article about violence against LGBTQIA+ people. And you're looking at some violence against people in St. John itself, in New Brunswick, and across the border in Maine. Mm-hmm. I guess thinking about kind of how things have changed.
The thing that really like resonated with me when I sat down to read these activists' newsletters was really seeing them dedicate it to Charles O. Howard. And I was really horrified in reading about what had happened to him and him being thrown off the bridge in Bangor and how he died, and violence that had been inflicted by people that were about, I think the youngest person was 15, and he was just a young person whose life was just really getting started. And I think about like what a loss and what a waste So it's really, really sad. And, you know, these things keep happening and we keep hearing about them. And, you know, what has changed in the past 40 years? And when are we going to say enough is enough? We have to understand that this is not something that is new, that people have been faced with great risk to their personal safety and to their well-being. Yes, maybe there are less incidences that are going on in Canada, but that's something that we need to be very aware of. I'd kind of hope to achieve, you know, an awareness that our ties with Maine, as we kind of are looking towards the state and being like, oh, not like these guys, we're not like them. I was hoping to also take a look at how entwined our queer community has been. Bangor Pride is, you know, teaming up more and more with St. John Pride because we have people that have dual citizenship that are on the board. I think that that's so important in being there for each other in these different times of crises, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to try and support people, but also not replicate the same thing here. We need to be very aware of how tense things can become politically in our own country, and how we are very, very close to being a few steps away from erasure happening here. These are different circumstances that we're dealing with now in today's world. They aren't that far off from the past and what's happened. Really trying to come together and so solidarity and, you know, share information is really important. And those were the foundation of what our elder queer activists did. And I think that there's a lot of inspiration that we can take from that.
In terms of the future, and kind of like the current sort of situation in the future, in the local area, I mean, what would you talk about as in terms of your sort of hopes and fears? You kind of talked certainly about how we can connect with history, but kind of also, I guess, what that history can teach going forward.
I really think that through education, we really can overcome a lot, and we have to also show, you know, the importance of solidarity in looking at the past and the fact that we need to be there for each other, that we need to, you know, talk about our queer history, show examples from our past too, of why, you know, showing solidarity is important. Like Charlie Howard's death is a very extreme case, but I think providing more opportunities for education, sharing these stories of resilience are super important too.
More information about the Queer Heritage Initiative of New Brunswick can be found at the organisation's Facebook page. This is Iona Cove for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.